the house of God, explore its wonders and its meaning for us today on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life's principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
One motif you see throughout Scripture is the house of God, the sanctuary, the temple, the great building that Solomon and Moses had partaken in. On this episode, we're going to look at the sanctuary and how it teaches us the elements and the attributes and about salvation and about God and all this. So we're going to welcome our friends here. I'm very excited. This is a very exciting topic for me. Sebastian, are you excited?
I am beyond excited.
Beyond excited. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and Jonathan can pray for us. We'll get into Exodus 25 after that.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you again for the privilege we have to study your word. And Lord, today as we look at the sanctuary, a special gift you have given us, we pray that you will open our eyes and understanding in our hearts, and not just of us here, but all those who are watching as well, to see the beauty of who you are. And how that changes and transforms our lives. So we invite your presence now, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sebastian, if you go to Exodus chapter 25, mm-hmm. verses 1 through 9, please.
Exodus 25, 1 to 9. The Bible says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it."
All right. So Siku, mm-hmm. welcome to the show. You look very radiant today. You're matching our set with your yellow. It's just awesome. Let us insight into the sanctuary. Maybe some people may know a lot about the sanctuary and they don't need this introduction. And some others are like, "What is the sanctuary? Is this like Sanctuary City? Is this kind of politics or what's going on here?" Give us a briefing here.
Not politics. I wish I had a graphic, a picture to show. But the sanctuary was erected, as was read by Sebastian, after a pattern that Moses was showed by God. Mm-hmm. And what was the components of the sanctuary was, when you were entering into the sanctuary, you had the outer court mm-hmm. where you had the altar of sacrifice, where they would make the sacrifices, and you had a laver with water where they would wash. And then you would go into the holy place, mm-hmm. and in the holy place you had three items of furniture. Mm-hmm. You had a table of shewbread where they would put 12 loaves mm-hmm. of bread. And
showbread, but the old English shewbread, not the shoes for bread.
No, not shoe, mm-hmm. S-H-E-W. Yes. Mm-hmm. What, so they call it different.
Well, showbread, but in the old English it's shewbread.
Yeah. Still
in English. But you know, when you hear the English, you hear showbread, like a little shoe. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So there's a table of bread.
Table of bread. Mm. And then they had the lampstand.
The golden candlesticks.
Mm. It was a seven-branched.
Yes.
Candlestick, mm-hmm. and then they had the altar of incense mm-hmm. in there as well, where they would burn incense that would ascend up to heaven. And then you'd go through a veil into the most holy place, which was the most holy of the place. Mm-hmm. And in there you had the Ark of the Covenant, and it had the covering of the Ark of the Covenant had these angels. On either side that were kind of looking over it. And then inside, you had the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the sanctuary that the Israelites had, like when they were going through the
mm-hmm.
wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great overview into the architecture of the building. Mm-hmm. Why are we talking about the sanctuary? We've been looking mm-hmm. at education from different elements of faith, of character, of spirituality, of debunking educational systems, and then now the house of God. Mm-hmm. Why are we looking at this, Jonathan?
Well, God really cares about education. He cares about making himself known to us.
Mm.
And so he has used numerous ways to do that.
Mm.
I mean, he has revealed himself through nature. In nature, we see so many beautiful things that teach us about God's character. He has revealed himself, of course, through the Word of God, which came, you know, was established at the time when the sanctuary was established. They started writing, you know, the first books of the Bible. But the sanctuary was also one way of God teaching us about what he wants to do with humanity, how he wants to redeem us, what his plan is. And it's kind of like a blueprint of God's way of interacting and dealing with humanity in their issue of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sanctuary, amongst other things, we're going to be studying about the Sabbath and so on, some other things, is a way for God to teach humanity about himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a teaching model.
Mm-hmm.
And it also caters to our fundamental principle here, this season, which is that communion with God was his original chosen method of developing us.
Mm-hmm.
But because of sin, that communion has been interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has now constructed a way to restore that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yet, even the restoration of that original method of development of man has a component to teach us about himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because everything that God does reveals something about God,
mm-hmm.
about his character. And
mm-hmm.
therefore, God is so ingenious that the very means of restoring you back to his plan of true education is a part of the process of the true education
mm-hmm.
itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in this modality, if you will, God is like, yeah, let me use this thing that's going to, even if you're the most base sinner, the farthest person from me, just the initial step of the outer court and making that step to initially want to come back to God, mm-hmm. to enter into the precincts of the sanctuary, you're already learning about
mm-hmm.
me. You're already getting to know me and experiencing true education.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this passage in Exodus 25. I mean, there's so many colors here. There's gold, silver, red, black, onyx, badger skins, mm-hmm. linen, white. There's also different scents. There's oil. There's incense going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very multi-sensory mm-hmm. experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's physical space. There's scents. There's eyes. There's fire, bread, you know. And it shows that God is into not the only the ephemeral and the spiritual and what out there, yeah. but also very, very everyday things.
Tangible.
Water, light, fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's using that to teach.
Yes.
And the apex of that is found in verse 8, mm-hmm. where he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And I just mm-hmm. see the heart of God here.
Mm-hmm.
Like God simply wants to hang out with humanity. Like
yeah.
he wants to dwell, and he wants to know us. And this has been our theme throughout education, too,
mm-hmm.
for the communion together. But because of sin, he can't.
Right.
So just in my weird imagination, I just think of, you know, you have this entity who's made out of, you know, pure nuclear energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to hang out with humanity, but because if he does so, humanity would be wiped out,
right?
Okay? Not because
mm-hmm.
of the nuclearness and radiation, but because okay. of his holiness.
Yeah.
But just go with the
Amen.
Analogy.
The holy radiation.
The holy radiation.
But
it just shows you the disparity between the holy and the profane,
yeah.
mm-hmm. but the heart of God wants to supersede that, wants to cross that barrier.
Yeah. Mm.
So what does he do? So he places himself into some kind of a containment building of the sanctuary so that priests and humanity can come together yeah. in front of God.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Jesus, if you go with the theme, this nuclear energy is embodied as a human being
yeah.
himself,
mm-hmm.
and so that humanity can dwell. That dwell motif is a powerful motif for humanity.
Mm-hmm. It is really something that the sanctuary model, I mean, we have the sanctuary here as a physical structure, but we have seen this in the Bible before.
Mm.
Even before the fall, the Garden of Eden was kind of like a sanctuary.
Mm.
You had, you know, the tree of life,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the space around it, the garden, and then the earth was around the garden. So there was different compartments, so to say, and God would meet them in the garden.
Mm.
And then later on, you know, we see, of course, Jesus as an embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
But even the sanctuary language is found again in the book of Revelation. After everything is said and done, when we, you know, when we're in heaven, or actually on the new earth, God will, it says, tabernacle with us. He will dwell with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole heart. That's, as you said, his heart is, I want to be with my people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to understand his desire and for us to have a way to experience that, the sanctuary is that educational model,
mm-hmm.
Which is also a model of that brings the remedy for our sin problem.
Yeah.
And so in that way, God has provided a way for us to experience
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Siku.
I mean, both of you took what I was going to say, so.
Sorry. Okay, Sebastian.
We just wanted to jump in with this whole idea of desire, because I remember reading about this concept in Latin of the desideratum, you know, the greatest desire.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at the fact that here in the Bible, God presents his greatest desire,
yes.
which is to dwell with us, and that is mediated by the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
which begins to create that parallel, right, to Jesus, that now this mediated relationship that I can't dwell with you directly mm-hmm. as I once could, but yet there's enough in this mediated relationship yes. to still accomplish my purpose of restoring you and of communing with you and developing you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And to see that coming through the encounters that humanity had with Jesus
mm-hmm.
and why physical healing was so important and forgiveness and emotional transformations that people went through, it was mediated by Jesus because God was in Christ, right, reconciling us to himself,
mm-hmm.
just as he was in the sanctuary, forgiving our sins and cleansing that sanctuary and restoring us into at-one-ment, so to speak, with himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what are actual things that God has taught or is teaching
mm-hmm.
and has taught us about him through the sanctuary?
Well,
actual concrete.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the first things is that God comes into space.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fact that the method that he chose, and you beautifully talked about all the elements that are involved in Exodus chapter 25, that it's olfactory, you know, it's this multi-sensual experience that he uses in order to teach about himself. And then he actually comes into that physical space, you know, through the Shekinah glory on the Ark of the Covenant, so that God enters mm-hmm. into space. And there's kind of a thought about God that, you know, God is, because God is so transcendent, like he's beyond, you know, what we can comprehend,
mm-hmm.
we could think that, oh, he cannot, you know, it doesn't go like God in our space.
Mm-hmm.
But from the sanctuary, even before Jesus comes down to this earth, you have God coming into yes. our space. And that, I think that's beautiful when I am by myself in my room praying to God,
mm-hmm.
that I can, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that God can enter into my physical space, like
mm-hmm.
into my physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
So he is not abstract. He's not a philosophy. He's not just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
He can physically engage with me in real time, in real space.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of real time, we're going to take a time for a break right now. So when we come back after the break, we'll look at the space remaining for Siku. Stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back, friends. We are talking about space,
mm-hmm.
and I want to piggyback on your comment that I totally agree. There are some people that mean God cannot be described. God is so, and he is. I mean, he is all that,
mm-hmm.
but they emphasize it so much that he becomes inaccessible,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and it starts contradicting what the Bible is saying, because this inaccessible God has made himself accessible
okay.
in
yes.
human time and space and history, and this is what the Bible is trying to say.
Right.
But they're just they by quote glorifying God, they almost undo that,
mm-hmm.
and we got to be careful that we don't do
true.
That. So finish point. We'll go to yep. A suspension.
I'll say one thing that teaches us is that engaging in the realities that surround us.
Mm.
is actually important, like that God put us in a physical world, and engaging that physical world is actually important to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when you get to Revelation, it says those who destroy the earth are not going to be saved in the end.
Mm.
Like the way that we engage the environment that
yes.
he has put us in actually has weight, you know, because God put us in physical space. He engages with
okay.
physical space.
Okay.
So
All right. We're getting green theology here. Okay, very good. Very good.
No,
all right.
But it's true.
So everyone have to go recycle and get an eco-friendly car.
Okay.
All right. Captain Plan. Okay.
I was going to say that right there at the very, you know, entrance of the sanctuary, we have the altar.
Yes.
Which is letting us know that God is showing us that in order for us to engage with him and to be reconciled, it's going to cost something.
Yes.
Right. That's something that is an expensive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God is the one
who is paying the cost.
Yes.
The fact that I have to keep bringing a lamb shows that whatever I paid last week is insufficient.
Mm.
But ultimately, in Jesus Christ, he had to pay one time.
Mm.
And therefore, not only is it costing God for us to relate,
mm-hmm.
but he's willing to pay
yes.
for that relationship. So it just goes to show you how much God values a relationship with me
mm-hmm.
and yet causes me to sit back in shame of how little I value it.
Mm-hmm.
How I look at it as, oh, yeah, I wish I could just get my 10 minutes with God today.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I took my hour, when God is like, I'm willing to pay all of heaven
mm-hmm.
for you and I to be together and to be in a relationship. And the sanctuary teaches us, this is expensive. This costs something.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for us, it's not costing us all of heaven, right? It's costing me an hour. It's costing me my mind, my life to surrender, which isn't really much without God anyway,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sebastian was starting to talk about something that, you were asking for lessons out of the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much we could cover, but so when you look at it, the sanctuary, from the perspective of the human being interacting with it, is you come with the lamb, you come, to find atonement for your sins.
Yes.
You know, the sins are transferred on the lamb is being sacrificed. And then the blood is applied, it's brought into the sanctuary. And then in the sanctuary, in the tent itself, there's two compartments. And so God is taking upon himself the sins, so that we're being taught this amazing lesson, obviously. But then when you look at the symbols that are in there, they are a reflection of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is our intercessor. The prayers that are represented by the smoke that ascends. You have the Holy Spirit and Jesus being the light of the world as well. And then, of course, the most holy place, a representation of God's throne. So God is taking the sins upon himself, and we have access mm-hmm. now to the throne because of Jesus mm-hmm. and because of everything that he has done in his life. But at the same time, it's also teaching us about the fact that Jesus left the throne of heaven, became the light of the world, became the bread of life, was baptized, died on the cross. So you see like a reversal coming to us. God comes so that we can come and connect. God
yeah.
meets us. And it's just so beautiful to see that this is the heart of God. And it's all in these very simple symbols that any mm-hmm. child can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's so much profound theology in it that we can't cover.
I appreciate the directionality, Jonathan.
Yeah.
That was very profound. And then at the end, it's so that the two can meet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The two parties that have been separated. A very simple story.
Right.
A lot of complexity involved in these universal right. salvational themes. But there is directionality.
Yes.
I appreciate that very much. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Psalm 73. This is probably something that we didn't cover, but it has come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something when in the realm of education we've been talking about. I had the awesome privilege to go to a Roman Catholic high school and a Jewish college and then working at secular institutions. And the mode is very similar in all three. And coming
mm-hmm.
from an Asian background and being brainwashed by my Asian culture is to be, not poor and not ugly. And so I'm both right now. So here we are in the 21st century, and we're trying to get ahead and
mm-hmm.
become number one. And as a follower of Jesus, sometimes I ask myself the question, why? It is a temptation. I look all around. I look on social media. I looked at my LinkedIn contacts just recently. I'm like, man, people are so successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do this. They break this. They don't keep this. They violate X, Y, or Z. And these are Christians and non-Christians alike. And the temptation is like, maybe I should get into this. Maybe I should apply for this. And
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this and making da 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 da. And so chapter 73 of Psalms has been a very great, great refuge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4 onwards, verse 14, it's talking about bad people. And they're doing all this bad stuff, right? And these aren't just only, just you look out in the world and all these successful people in the world. Verse 15, and it says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. So it's like, you look at all these bad people in the world, and they're more successful,
mm-hmm.
and they're not getting punished. And you look at all the injustice in your life,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, what? And then, your mind goes through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it was until verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood, not my end,
mm-hmm.
not my end.
Right.
The Bible says their end.
Yeah.
And so it really requires the patience on my end to see how time will play itself out.
Yep.
And it's the sanctuary that as a motif
mm-hmm.
on how God teaches us. us, his yeah. way of life, is that, hey, there's some things you don't know, but the sanctuary tells you that all who are wicked, they will experience their own, the end of wickedness in God's way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when David saw this, he saw death. He saw sin will be obliterated. Those who don't bring the lamb, mm-hmm. I mean, they are not around anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, God is just in the end of the day.
Correct.
And it requires me to make sure that I am not tempted by all these temptations and to make sure that my heart is right before God.
Yes.
And then it really provides hope. It doesn't provide immediate solace. I wish I was just as rich and successful and whatnot. But I'm like, huh, in the larger picture of things, God is teaching me I need character to develop in my life.
And I think you're hitting on a core point that Jonathan alluded to when he talked about the sanctuary bearing the sins.
Mm-hmm.
And even your question, which is those burdens are not for us to bear,
mm-hmm.
right? The end of the wicked and who's going through success right now and where is that leading, mm-hmm. that's not my burden. That's not my question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
He bears the sins. He's providing the lesson to show me I'm going to deal with it. I'm mm-hmm. going to make it right. And sometimes we have to be careful that our pursuit of justice in this world, our pursuit of equity in this world can steal away from what the sanctuary is trying to teach us, which
Amen.
Is that's not
right.
your burden.
That's right.
That is
that's
the
right.
burden of mm-hmm. God. And if you overdo it, like Paul says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So it's not for us to carry out that vengeance.
And many people want that burden.
Yes.
They want to see it. They want to enact out their own justice.
Yep. Yeah.
Seeing that it's a lot more almost refreshing to do it your way than to wait and rely on God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they put the Christian moniker. They put the sticker. This is the Christian way. The Bible says justice. I have to enact my own justice.
Yep.
The sanctuary proves otherwise.
Yeah. And it's the same on the flip side. Like that. The sanctuary teaches that God will have justice in the end. You know, so it's
guaranteed.
Yeah. Yes. So it's that for the wrongdoer, it's not saying it's okay, like whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
It's saying that just God will enact justice.
Yes.
And so for the person who is longing for justice, the sanctuary tells you that God will take care of it. You know, and that's a point.
Which is sobering and rebuking, and to make sure that I'm not on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's really the question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like people feel like because they're right about an issue, they're right with God.
Mm.
So even if I do have that righteous indignation, that doesn't mean that I'm not a part of those people who will see that end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and the answer to that question is, where's my relationship with Jesus and how similar am I to him?
Yeah.
That's the fundamental question I have to answer. Not, I stood up for the poor in India. I took care of the kids who were being sex trafficked or whatever. Or I stood for social injustice of systematic racism. It's really coming down to, but are you similar to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really the thing you're going to have to face.
Are you guys all getting this? Like, this is not some ancient house that you find in some, you know, Near Eastern, you know, Old Testament studies. I mean, this is real-time stuff. These are real-time issues that are happening right now and that the Bible is addressing through the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Through the sanctuary. So, Jonathan. I just want to, I'm not trying to get away from that, but maybe I kind of am. So, I'm just trying another lesson, and it's connected. It's all connected, of course. But the sanctuary... God is a great teacher. So he was, you know, he told the Israelites to build a sanctuary, and they did not fully grasp every little aspect of this right away.
Sure.
But God is a patient teacher, and through what we call, you know, in theology, we call progressive revelation. It's like over time you understand more and more and more. God has been showing us his plan for humanity. So he gave us a sanctuary, which is kind of an overview, a blueprint, and then he fulfilled all these things. You know, obviously through Jesus, but even before that, when Solomon built the temple, which was just a hard copy, so to say, of the tent, the fire of God came down and filled God's glory, filled the place,
mm-hmm.
and God was telling us, I have a plan to fill the sanctuary with my presence, and you're like, you're filling this building with your presence, and then Jesus comes up and shows up in the temple. He is filling the temple with his presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he's saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to follow you, the book of Acts, and he's going to fill you. So God's presence, and then we read Paul in 1 Corinthians, if I can read that.
Yeah,
let's go to
1 Corinthians.
Chapter 6. Mm-hmm. And here in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19,
mm-hmm.
he's saying, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So God has been over time trying to teach us, I want to come closer and closer and closer. And hey,
surprise, you are a sanctuary too if you let me live in you. And I want to glorify myself through you. I want to reveal the love that I have for all through you and your life. And so the sanctuary is not just this, you know, this place over there somewhere in the Middle East. It is a place. You can be a sanctuary for God. You can become an instrument of teaching others about who God is and how amazing He is. And His presence, He literally wants to dwell in you through the Holy Spirit. We saw in the book of Acts, the fire was indicating, you know, the fire that we saw in the sanctuary, that we saw before in Solomon's temple. He wants to live in us. And He will do that. You just have to pray and ask for it today.
The piggyback on that, and the cool thing that I think for us living in the 21st century, is that the sanctuary still exists not only in our bodies, but in the heavenly sanctuary.
That's right. Amen.
And that the greatest, one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible is Jesus finished all of His work here on earth, and then He went upstairs to heaven. The question is, why did He go up to heaven, right? And this is a question that many evangelical scholars ask, why the ascension? There are some theologians say he just kind of effervesced into spiritual, you know, and has disintegrated. He's now at one with the universe. Right? That's kind of a weird interpretation. There's others, he's just hanging out in heaven. Well, why? What's up there? He's just kind of hanging out, and then at some point he's going to come back down. Why? And then there's others that, who don't believe that, that he's up there at all, that he's just a historical figure. Well, the Bible says he's doing something in heaven. And when he finishes, he's coming back downstairs. And we want to be part of that kind of people who are waiting for Jesus when he comes back downstairs. And this is the message of the sanctuary, to be ready for Jesus' second coming. How many of you out there have been studying the Bible and you see this, the sanctuary, and you've ignored it? We want to encourage you to take the sanctuary a little bit more seriously and see, where is Jesus in all of this? We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and look at our Bible study guides, especially when it comes to the topic of education. Go to our social media outlets on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter, and continue the conversation. Let us know how you have been blessed by this topic on education. And then for past episodes, you can go to hopetv.org/inverse and catch up on this entire quarter. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.